Good morning, world, and this is, I want to say Happy New Year to everyone, and most especially those who are sharing this calendar with us. We want to say Happy New Year. Do have a great and wonderful year, and have 2017 experience. This is Exposé 247, where we rebuild Christ by gleaning through all the pages of the Old Testament and New Testament. And lately, we are on the Knockout series after the Prodigal Father series we had some weeks back. And in this Knockout series, we're trusting the Lord, using the hammer of God's word to cast down every imagination, every high-sounding principles and philosophy that is antichrist. And yesterday, we caught up with a man in the book of John, chapter 5. You know that man with that issue, that 38-year-old case. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot that was said and said and said about it. Mm-hmm. In case you missed anything, I know it's an hour long yesterday, and we are not apologizing for that, because we will not be told anything that is profitable for you. So if you are making any resolution this year, it's like to give more, to pay more attention to things that are very important to you. So you need to spend your data, you need to spend your time and find time for things. Like, you are talking about your freedom here, we are talking about your liberty, we are talking about your benefits, not somebody spoiling you out of it, cheating you or robbing you of it. We are talking about you even getting into it. Now, yesterday we were talking about contrasting two systems. The whole system in which you have to wait on somebody and you'll be indebted and you cannot determine the probability. And the new system in which you can take it now, as of now, you can make.
In Christ.
So before you run off with another thing this morning, I just want to draw you back to a verse in that John chapter 5, when the when Christ was making an offer to him. You know, it's too good to, you know, he cannot resist. And he was saying, I will make you, would you be made whole? You know, Christ was not offering, he was not putting something on the table and saying, would you just be able to walk, and would you want me to help you and push you to the river? Would you want me to just make you to be able to walk, or would you just want me to stay, or would you want me to just tell you the time that the angels will be visiting? When he gave an offer that just to wholeness, we're not just talking being healed. You know, that's something that I was looking to yesterday. Oneness. Would you want to throw more light on that?
See, thank you. Viewers all over the world, thank you for joining us today again on Knockout Series 4, where we've been looking at when is God visiting you. And if you're just joining us today for the very first time, we've been trying to answer the question, does God have a set time to bless you? It's a Knockout series. You know, we think the church is at a time where we believe a lot of people have this wrong mentality that God has a particular season, or God has set a particular time in which he's going to bless you. And people try to make sure they don't miss that time. They try to make sure they don't miss that season. So the question we are answering on Knockout 4 is it true that God has a set time to bless you? Now, your ability to answer the question goes a long way if you're going to walk in your destiny in Christ Jesus. Until yesterday, we stopped at the instance of Jesus giving this man an invitation. And what is quite amazing about Jesus' invitation is, here was a man that was grappling with the whole system. The old system that this man was dealing with was a system that had to wait for the troubling of the waters, because the angel always come at a particular season to trouble the waters. And this man hanged his destiny on waiting for the season when the angel will show up. And we came to that conclusion based on this event, that this man actually also blamed the fact that there was no man to help him. And we did say yesterday, if you live by this old system, you would always depend on the gifting and the anointing upon other people. That's why you have to be at every single meeting. Make sure you don't miss every single, convention or conference. It's good to be in meetings where you are sharpened by the word. But if your reason for going to meetings all the time is just to make sure you don't miss your season, you are still living in the system that this man found himself. And Jesus came to this man and gave him a different offering. Jesus invited this man into a different mentality, where Jesus Christ said, do you want to be made whole? Jesus was telling the man, do you know there's something you can do right now that can make you walk in that season? And that was the invitation Jesus gave this man. And we did say yesterday, Jesus is giving the same invitation to anybody who cares to listen. And the invitation of Christ to this man is, will you be made whole? That's what Jesus said. Will you be made whole? Now, and you see, before we carry on today, let me say this. The reason why Jesus asked this man in John chapter 5 if you were made whole is because Jesus is simply saying, do you know that this all depends on your response?
Yeah.
This is completely dependent on your response. If you respond well, you can walk in your season now.
Right away.
And it's that's why the Church of Christ has to stop. People walking in this wrong mentality of thinking that God has set a particular season and time in his calendar for him to bless you. If that was so, Jesus would not ask this man, do you want to be made whole now? Do you want it now? If you give me the right response, you can get it now. And you see, what we are talking about on this episode today is how do we respond correctly? How do you, as a Christian, give the right response to make sure you can walk now in your season and your timing? And you see, you have to sit back and listen to what we have to bring by the grace of God on this episode today. So what Jesus spoke to this man in chapter 5 of John, from verse 7, if you read that, the Bible says, the impotent man answered him and said, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steps in. We've talked about this yesterday. Now look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. Jesus said unto him, we're going to start from there. You were talking about being made whole. And we're going to actually explore that. Let's see what Jesus said to this man first. In verse 8 of John chapter 5. Now please watch the statement of Jesus. If you listen to the statement of Jesus and you give the right response, you will walk now in your season. Now, if you don't give the right response, you will actually go back to the old system of waiting for the troubling of the waters. And if you were here yesterday, and if you're not here, please listen to yesterday's episode. We established the fact, if you walk by the old system of waiting for the move, or the move of God through the meeting, the move of God through the minister of God, if you wait on that system, what will happen is you will walk on probability. Because this man confessed and said that if one person enters into the waters, that's it. Nobody else can get healing. They have to wait for the next season when the angel will come. And so many Christians live like that. You see, in the meetings where people give testimony, and if you walk out the probability, it's just 1 out of 100 or 1 out of 1,000 or 2 out of 1,000,000 or whatever. So that's the old system. Now, Jesus spoke to this man and gave him an invitation. Please listen to how this man responded to the invitation of Christ. Now, Jesus said to this man, rise up, take up your bed and walk. Now, viewers all over the world, listen to this. If Jesus was going to tell a man who was an invalid, the Bible tells us this man was lame. Now, if you're going to tell him to be healed, I thought what Jesus was going to say to this man is to say, be healed. Or I give you healing. Or I'm saying that now, let your legs be strong so that you can walk. Now, please, Jesus did not say that. Look at what Jesus said. Now, it's important that we look at the response of this man. If we understand how this man responded to Jesus' invitation, it is an understanding of this kind of invitation that makes us walk in our timing. Jesus said to the man, I repeat, rise up. Now, take up your bed and walk. Amazing. Amazing, because Jesus did not say be healed. Jesus did not say let your legs receive strength. Jesus says rise up, take your bed and walk. If you tell somebody to rise up and walk, it means the only reason why the person can rise up and walk is if the person understands that there's strength in their legs. If the person understands that they have the capacity in their legs, in their limbs, to walk. So for example, if I go out there today and I tell a lame person who cannot walk, if I tell them rise up and walk, this lame person will look at me like I'm crazy. How can you tell me to rise up and walk when it's pretty obvious to you that I'm lame? So the only reason why somebody can rise up and walk is because the person can see that they have the capacity to walk. Now, Jesus spoke to this man. He didn't say you are healed. Watch the statement of Jesus. Jesus said, rise up and walk. So the only reason, look what happens. Look at verse 9. Look at the response of this man in verse 9. And immediately the man was made whole, and he took up his bed and walked. Now, listen, viewers. The man took up his bed and walked because when Jesus told him to rise up and walk, that means the man already accepted the reality that he has strength in his legs. You would not rise up and walk if you believe you're still lame, because you tell the person asking you to walk that are they blind to see the fact that you're lame. So the reason the man acted in walking is because he accepted the fact that his legs had capacity to walk. This is the simplicity of what faith is. You see, people teach faith in very strange ways and in very strange notions and in very strange ideas. People think that when we say we should have faith, it simply means that if you try to believe God and then the thing you are believing God for, then God can make it to happen. So if you believe God well enough, you can make things happen in your life. That's not true. This is the reality of faith, is a man acting and actually carrying out what he believes he has received and is true. Now, I'll say this again. The reason why the man was able to rise up and walk is because he believes that there was strength in his legs. And this is what our response is all about. Is every time God speaks the word, every time God releases the word into our lives, and we look at the perfect law of liberty, you see, our response is what is called faith. In this 2017, are you going to act? Are you going to communicate? Are you going to think? Are you going to reason like you can see that what God said is true about your life? That's what faith is. And see, before we carry on, there's something I want our viewers to understand, that this man had been in this situation for 38 years. I will tell you the implication of that. Every time you have been in the same situation for a length of time, what happens is that situation is not just a situation. It ends up becoming your identity.
Yeah.
That's why if you notice the woman with the issue of blood, she has no name in the Bible. Mm-hmm. The Bible says she's the woman with the issue of blood. You know why? Because her situation, her circumstance had been there for that length of time, mm-hmm. that now she was known by the name of the disease mm-hmm. that has taken hold of her life. You see, what happens to people is when people have been in situations for a long time, the problem is it's not that they have the situation, it's that the situation will have people. Yeah. It means it encroaches into the mentality of people. It encroaches into the thought process of people. That's why if you notice, if you're a student of the Bible and you check the Bible very well, you will notice that there are times that the scriptures does not give us the name of some people. The scripture uses their circumstance or their situation to define who they are. Now, that always happens if those people's identity has been connected to their circumstance. Here was a man who has been an invalid for 38 years. Now, I don't know how long you've been believing God for something in your life. I don't know how long you've been in this situation. I don't know how long you've been in that condition. But listen, one thing is, even if the condition has taken hold of your identity, mm-hmm. and if you think about yourself, in fact, you are attaching yourself to that condition. In fact, you think about yourself in view of that condition. That was the situation this man was. The Bible never gave us his name. He said there was a man. He was an invalid. That's just who he is, an invalid man, a man that had no capacity. But listen, Jesus spoke to a man who had no capacity. Jesus spoke to a man who was an invalid, and Jesus said, rise up. How can you tell someone who was an invalid? How can you tell someone who had no strength in their legs to what? Right. To rise up. Now, this is where the reality of the response of faith comes in. This is the reason we study the word. You see, the reason we study the word is simply because we want the word of God to show us the reality of who we are. Because our flesh, our mindset, our circumstances cannot unveil who we really are to ourselves. We would not know who we are unless we look at the mirror of God's word. James chapter 1 tells us that the word of God is a mirror that reflects the reality of who we are in our spirit. And this is the reason we need to know who we are. The reason we need to know who we are is because in 2017, it's time to act, to rise up, to walk based on what we see that we are. Now, this is the reason why so many people are waiting on God for a season. Because people are not seeing what God is seeing. When Jesus Christ told this man to rise up and work, you could only say that because Jesus could see that he had strength in his legs. Now, I'll say that again. Jesus only told him to rise up and work because Jesus could see strength in his legs. Now, listen. What about if this man did not rise up? What about if this man said to Jesus, can you not see that I'm lame? Can you do something about his legs? Can you not make strength to come to my legs? Unless there's strength in my legs, I cannot rise up and work. This is the reason why we always simply say faith is a response from man.
Hmm.
Your response is so critical. Can you act and think in 2017, believing that God has blessed you with all spiritual blessings available in Christ Jesus? Can you think, can you make plans? Can you strategize in 2017, knowing that what God said about you is true? Can you act that way? Can you talk that way? Can you communicate that way? This is the way the whole problem is with so many Christians. we want to see before we can believe. But here was a man. Jesus told him to rise up and walk, even though it was obvious he was lame. What did he do? He responded. The Bible says he stood up and it worked. Now, you see, the problem that we do have then is there's a kind of disconnect. We've said this before in previous series, between when God says something, rise up and work. Because Jesus can see there was strength in his legs. When he said that, what happens is when we receive such instructions, you see, we begin to process with our minds. The problem we have is our minds. That's what the Bible talks about. Our minds need to be what? Renewed. Our minds need to come into agreement with what is in the reality of our spirit. Let me say this. Our response is the key thing in the kingdom of God. Christ is in you. Christ lives in you. Completion lives in you. Wholeness lives in you. Healing lives in you. Perfection lives in you. Gentleness lives in you. Goodness lives in you. Everything you need for life and godliness lives in you. But unless you act accordingly. You see, for example, we have said the reason why a Christian cannot live in sin is because you can see that you are righteous. If you see the way you are, you will act accordingly. So here was a man who actually stood up and walked because he could see that there was strength in his legs. You can see that. So what do you see? That's the question. What do you see? What you see is what you're going to respond to. And what you respond to is what makes the power of God to flow in your life. So that's what we see of this man. The Bible says something about him. He was made whole. Now you see, that's very important. He was made whole. Now the wholeness means completion. It means this wasn't just a matter of his legs. Now that's what we talk about, the fact that the reason why this man acted on what Christ said is because his mind must have come into it. His thought process must have come into it. What happened to this man wasn't just a physical deliverance of his legs. It was a completion of his life. He was made whole. And you see, what comes to heart is those 10 lepers, you know, who came to Jesus. And you see, when they were healed, what happened? They all went away. And one of them, two of them came back. One of them came back and gave thanks. And the Bible said he was made whole. Now, in that particular event, we now know there's a big difference between just getting healed and being made whole. But you see, we are saying this to you, that when you walk with Christ's system, when you listen to the word of Christ, when you respond to what Christ is saying, what happens is your mind has to come into agreement with the word. That's why the Bible talks about renewing our mind. Once your mind comes to agreement with the word, there is a deliverance going on, not just in your body, not just in your life, in circumstances, even in your soul, in your mind, in your thinking, in your reasoning. There's a renewal going on. And the Bible says when that happens to you, it's not just about you receiving deliverance for your circumstance. Wholeness is coming into your life. So now there's something I want to look at in John chapter 9 as well, regarding a similar situation. This, you see, for you to walk in your season, you need to respond and act out the word of God. If you're not acting out the word, it means you don't believe. You don't believe the word is true. If you believe the word is true, you need to act out the word. Now, John chapter 9, let's see a particular man who was in a similar situation to this man. Now, see what it says. Now, this man was born blind. And see, Jesus said something to this man.
That's what?
Now, verse 6. Now, this was a man who was born blind. Now, look at John chapter 9, verse 6. It says, when he had thus spoken, Jesus spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. Now watch this. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Again, Jesus refused to tell the man you are healed. Now, please, can you begin to see the correlation of John chapter 9 and John chapter 5? Jesus did not tell this man, you are healed. Now you can go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Jesus told this man to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, and even though there was no evidence that his eyes were opened, and this man went to the pool of Siloam. Now see what the Bible says. Bible says he went his way therefore and washed and came back seeing. Now let's say this again. This is why I repeat, so many Christians are confused about the notion of faith. You see, if you read what the word says about you, if you look at the perfect law of liberty, James chapter 1, and you see what the word of God says about you, do you respond to the word? Do you act based on the fact that the word is true? If you're believing God for anything and you know it has been given to you in Christ Jesus, what is your action? What is your response? Faith is not about trying to make God to do something for you. Faith is your response to the word. This man walked to the pool of Siloam. Now see what this man's commentary is about his own healing. See what he said. Now this is very important. Now see what the man said to them. He said, I'm going to read, what does verse 7 say, please? Can you read verse 7?
And said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam.
Okay.
It's by interpretation sent.
Now look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. Okay. When the Jews asked the man to tell them what happened to him, see what the man said. The man, the Bible said, he answered, I'm reading John chapter 9, verse 11, and said, that's the man, he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go ye to the pool of Siloam and wash. Now see what he said. He said, I went and washed and I received my sight. I went, I acted on what he said. I washed, I acted on what Jesus said. And I received my sight because I acted on what the word of God says. For example, the word of God says in 1 Peter 2:24, that by the stripes of Jesus, ye were healed. Now, if you receive that word and you study that word and you have any condition in your body, if you have any medical situation in your system, and the Bible didn't say by the stripes of Jesus you are going to be healed, the Bible says by the stripes you were healed. If you read that word and you receive that word as the reality of your life, you will start to talk, act, behave as somebody who knows that word is true, who knows that word is real. And that's what we're talking about. You will not begin to make plans and begin to make preparation for sickness. You will not start making preparation for disease. You will not start to say, you know what, we don't know what's going to happen. I think we need to get ready just in case. Because, see, that's why we did say faith is all about our response. We don't make things to happen to God by faith. Things happen to us by faith. Here was a man that Jesus did not tell him, you are healed from your blindness. Jesus said, wash, go wash in the pool of Siloam. You know the test of this man? If this man refuses to go and simply says, well, Jesus, if it is true that I was healed of my blindness, please let me see, and I'm going to wash in the pool of Siloam. The reason this man walked all the way there and came back is because he believed what Jesus said to him as the reality. And so let's say this again and again. If you want to walk in your season, if you want to respond to the new system that Jesus Christ is bringing, in this new system, you cannot be lazy when it comes to seeing the reality of who you are in Christ Jesus through the Word. The Word of God reveals us to us. The Word of God shows us who we are in Christ Jesus. And as soon as we see who we are in Christ Jesus, we have to start walking immediately. Start acting immediately. Start behaving that way immediately. Start to see things that way immediately. Start to communicate that way immediately, that the word that we've seen is true. Unless we walk by that system, we'll be subject to the old system where we'll start waiting for the troubling of the waters. And there's something I want us to look at today, which is very, very important, about this system, this invitation of Christ that makes a man to walk in his season straight away. That's it. We're looking at the invitation of Christ that makes a man walk in his season immediately. We're going to look at this man in the book of Psalm. You see this man in Psalm chapter 1. Now, don't forget, like we said, we are investigating a system that makes a man walk in his season straight away. Now, if you're there, if you have your scriptures, you can follow us with this. If not, we were going to read from here. Psalm chapter 1. Let's see what God has to say about this man who actually walks in his own season. Psalm chapter 1. Now see, I'll read from verse 1. It says, blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Now you see, counsel there means ideology. And don't forget, if you were with us in the previous episode, we said in Colossians chapter 2, from verse 8 to verse 16, that if you follow wrong thinking, even if you're a Christian, the Bible says your wrong mentality, your wrong ideology can spoil you of your inheritance in Christ Jesus. So the Bible is going to start with this man and tell us that one thing that stands out about this man in Psalm chapter 1 is that this man does not take concepts, ideologies that are ungodly. He does not subject himself to wrong counsel. Now listen, it says he does not stand in the way of sinners. If you look at that again, when he said the man does not stand in the way of sinners, the word way, that means the method of doing things. You see, your ideology, your perception of things. That's the reason why Psalm 103 tells us about the fact that the children of Israel, all they knew about God was the acts of God. You see that? The children of Israel lived by the acts of God. But he said Moses knew the ways of God. Now listen, those are, again, we see those two different systems being contrasted in Psalm 103. You see, some people, all they know is to see the move of God upon the waters. They want to see God trouble the waters. They're going to wait for their season, for God to show up. Perhaps God will have mercy on them. But some other people know the ways of God. They know the method of God. They know the principles of God. They can make things happen by the way they respond to the words of Christ. And listen, in Psalm 103, he contrasted the children of Israel to Moses by saying some knew the acts of God, and that's all they knew, the troubling of the waters. But he says Moses knew God's ways. Here he says the blessed man in Psalm chapter 1, he doesn't stand in the ways of sinners. He said this man has the right approach to things. He doesn't stand in the ways of sinners. Watch it. We said ways means what? Your approach to things, your perception of things, how you look at things. He said this man does not stand in the way of sinners. Look at the next thing. He does not sit in the seat of discomfort. Now, if you notice in Psalm chapter 1, these three things talking about he does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not stand in the way of sinners. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. You see, those three things shows us a man who is not walking by the wrong ideology. If you notice, again, I repeat, you see, a man that is not walk in the counsel, counsel there doesn't mean the man is actually acting. It's just a concept, a way of doing things, the thinking pattern. So it tells us about the things that this man does not do. Now watch. Now the next one says, but he is, now verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In that law, he meditates day and night. Now listen, it means then, for those people who don't delight in the law of the Lord, for those Christians who don't take time out to labor in the word, what it means that we are given to counsels, we are given to different ways, we are given to being scornful. Now see the word scornful in verse 1, it means when you despise godly counsel. It means it's all about counsel, it's about ideology, it's about the way of thinking in verse 1 of Psalm. Now, it says that this man, the reason why this man is not given to all these wrong concepts and the wrong thinking pattern is because in verse 2, this man delights in the law of the Lord. It means the only insurance you have against wrong thinking, against philosophies of men, the only insurance you have against the traditions of men is to delight yourself in the law of the Lord. Unless, if you don't go to verse 2, you end up back in verse 1. So the reality is this. If you want to be immune to men's traditions in 2017, if you want to be immune to counsels, to ways of doing things that are completely going to deprive you of the benefit in Christ, you need to go on to verse 2 and delight yourself in the law of the Lord. Now wait, it says in that law, he meditates day and night. It means then, this is not what you're going to do for 10 minutes or 5 minutes. That's why we said this yesterday, John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Jesus said to the Jews that believed in him, that if you continue in my word, can you see that? You'll be my disciple. If you continue in my word. The Bible says about this man in Psalm chapter 1. The only reason why this man was immune to counsels, to ways of doing things that are depriving people of the benefit of the cross is because this man doesn't just meditate on the word. He says he meditates on it day and night. Consistency, continuing in the word is what immune this man against counsels and ideologies that are not beneficial to his destiny. Now he meditates on the word day and night. That's the word, day and night. And you see, verse 3 says, he shall be. Can you see that? Now look at that. This is very critical now. This man shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of waters. Now look at this. Now the next phrase is very important. Let's listen to that. He said, he shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of waters that brings forth his fruit in his... That's the word. Hey, now listen. Now, let's look at this. If you do agriculture, this is pretty obvious out there. You would notice that every plant has its own season. Now, the reason the trees and plants have their season is because they depend on external supply for them to survive. Now, for example, if there's no rain and if there is no moisture, if there is no oxygen, if there is no carbon dioxide, if there are no supplies of nutrients, plants will die off. That's the reason why in spring, you see that the plants shed their leaves in spring. When it comes to fall in autumn, the plants shed their trees because why? The season is not what? Favorable. Now, the reason is because plants depend on external factors for survival. But the Bible says this man has changed the game. This man in Psalm chapter 1 has changed the system. What this man did in Psalm chapter 1 is, this man is like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. This tree is not waiting for supply from the rain. This tree is not waiting for supply from the elements or the climate. This tree has already fixed its root by the rivers of waters. It means that this tree can continually draw on the supply. That's why he says he can bring forth his fruit in his own timing. Now watch this. Look at the next verse. He said his leaves shall not wither. That doesn't make any sense.
So are you saying there's no fall?
This tree is not waiting for when it is spring. This tree says, you know what? I think I'm going to have to shed my leaves in autumn, in the fall, because the weather is not too nice. I'm going to wait until spring for me to spring out, because you know what? It's not my. I'm going to wait on the season to come out. Now, the Bible says this does not happen to this tree, because this tree is continually taking supply, is planted by the rivers of waters. This is what happens when you respond to the Christ life that is in you. Now, listen, if you respond to the life of Christ in you, if you allow the word of Christ to override your mind, if your mind is renewed in the word, the Bible says this man, he was meditating day and night. This man was meditating day and night. Now we know. Now the Bible is comparing a man that is meditating on the word day and night. In the same way, it's like a tree that has fixed its root to constant supply. Now he says this man can determine his own season. He says he brings forth fruit in his own season. No, you don't bring forth fruit in your season normally. You bring forth fruit in the season of the weather. You bring forth fruit in the season of the climate. You wait for the troubling of the waters, as it were. Or you wait for the climate to be favorable. The Bible says, no. This particular tree actually brings forth its own result in its own season. It determines it. He actually walks in his own season as he wishes. And that's why he tells us that his leaves doesn't fall. It means if this plant says, you know what? I will continually be productive. There is no downtime. The Bible says it's happening. This particular plant has no downtime. There is no downtime with it. How did this happen? This doesn't follow the law of agriculture. The Bible says it would happen to you if you labor in the word to meditate day and night to receive constant supply from the life of Christ that dwells in you. And that is how this man in Psalm 1 walked in his own season. He walked in his own timing. He walked in his own moment by dipping his root deep down to the ground for constant supply of water to be taken on by this man. So what we are simply saying is this. The Bible is simply contrasting this man in Psalm 1. And that was contrasting and comparing at the same time. He says this man's life, the result of the life of this man is the same result a tree will get when it's in constant what? When it's in constantly connected to the supply. Now it means then you and I don't have to wait for the next moment of the move of the troubling of the waters. It means you and I, we don't have to wait for the next convention. You and I don't have to wait for the man of God to release a special word into our lives at the next meeting. It means that you and I can decide to produce fruits and results in our season. Can you see that? Now, when it says our season, you will have thought that it was simply saying it's one off. No, but the next verse tells us in Psalm chapter 1 that it so happens that the leaves don't wither. Now, I actually challenge you to show me a plant or a tree that does not respond to the weather. Trees respond to the climate. But he said, the Bible said it can so happen that you can bring forth results in your life as that when necessary by you constantly connected to supply. And Christ is your supply. Christ in you is your supply. Christ in your spirit is the hope of glory, is your supply. Dig down to that supply. In fact, the Bible says with joy, you will draw water from the well of salvation. You have to make a demand on the life of Christ in you. You have to dig your roots deep down. In Colossians 3, he tells us, he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. He said, being rooted in him. That's Colossians 3. Can you see that? Can you dig your root deep down into Christ? He said, being rooted. Now, he tells us how you can be rooted. It's not ambiguous. This is not philosophy. We're not teaching psychology here. The Bible says, if you let the words of Christ dwell in you, mark the word, richly. You cannot do this with a 5 or 10 minute study or meditation. It says, allow the word to dwell in you richly. Can you see that? No wonder this man in Psalm 1 meditated day and night. He said, if you allow the word of Christ to dwell in you richly, he said, you rooted and built up in him. This is how you can always walk in your season. No downtime for your life. It means then, what the Bible said about the path of the just shining brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. No downtime. Have you ever noticed some people, they're wondering, how can you be so blessed all the time? And they say, well, you know what? The reason I'm so blessed now, maybe something bad will happen very soon. You see that? You can say, oh, you know what? I think my fruits are blossoming. My trees, my leaves are blossoming.
Yeah, the spring bound.
Maybe at some time, my leaves will wither. The reason people have such wrong ideology is simply because you have not become so confident in the fact that your root is going down to the rivers of living waters. Your root is going deep down. The Bible gives you a guarantee. Listen to the heavenly insurance. The Bible says if your root goes down to the rivers of living waters, there will be a guarantee that your leaves will never wither. It means for you, you are not waiting on a season for you to blossom. You're not waiting for a declaration over your life. You're not waiting for the next year, 31st of December, for them to release the next word into your life. And you see, that's why you see people who actually say, you know what, I think I'll receive the word. Yesterday, I know some Christians have gone to services, the crossover services, where they say, you know, I want a word to be spoken into my life and I can carry that word for the next 365 days. I can be sure my life is guaranteed. And I see, I remember yesterday, you know, we're talking about the Sabbath, where God set up a system where God sent down the manna from heaven and God had to subject them to seasons and timings for them to pick up the manna. You see, what I notice is God told them in Deuteronomy chapter 8, Exodus 16, he told them that, you see, on the day before the Sabbath, make sure that you gather enough so that tomorrow they have nothing, so that you can have enough to sustain you all through. And that's what's happening to some mentality, the wilderness mentality, the mentality that makes you carry a big bucket where you think, you know what, I think I need to gather all for the next 365 days on the 31st of December, because I don't know what's going to happen when the next season will show up in my life. That's a mentality that Christ came to get rid out of your thinking. The Bible says you can so meditate on the word day and night that your root will be like that of a tree that is going down to the rivers of living waters, getting constant supply in such a way that your leaves will never wither. Your leaves will never form. People wonder, how is it that it's getting better and better? You are shining brighter and brighter. Yes, it is possible if your root goes down to supply. And the Bible says that happens if you meditate day and night on the word. So we've seen a system at work. Psalm chapter 1 shows us a man that was walking by the very same system that Christ actually brought to us in redemption. Now let's carry on from there, which is what we have to clarify. Now we'll go back again to Psalm chapter 1, the one we just read. Psalm chapter 1. I'm just going to... Now, I'll pick it from the verse that we just...
Verse 3 and 4.
Yeah, I think we did read...
And it shall be like a tree.
Yeah, read it, please.
And it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water.
Yes.
That bringeth forth its fruit in its season.
Okay.
Its leaves also shall not wither.
Now, his leaves shall not wither. So, what we have established... But we established the fact that this man can be in season all the time. Yes. Can you see that? Now, I think, viewers, can you listen to that? Here is a man that can be in season all the time. This man is in season all the time. His leaves doesn't wither. So, what's the next thing that he said?
Whatsoever he doeth...
Whatsoever this man does, prospers. Now, he's telling us why he believes this man will always be in season. Now, I know people are going for prosperity meetings, breakthrough services, where you can actually break forth to the next level. Listen, the scripture says this man is always going to prosper in whatever he does. Now, I understand some Christians believe the fact that prosperity teaching and prosperity gospel is not a true gospel. Well, let's say this quickly. It doesn't matter how you interpret prosperity to be. And then the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, it said, no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. Well, of course, it's not saying that the weapon will have money or no money. The fact is, I don't care how much you interpret prosperity to be, but one thing that we should all agree about in terms of prosperity is the reason why it says the weapon shall not prosper is simply that the weapon will not achieve its purpose. The weapon will not achieve its target. Now, the fact is, we at least must agree that prosperity is about you eating your target in destiny.
Yeah.
That prosperity at least is about you eating the very reason why you were created. The Bible says you can always prosper in whatever you do. You will not always be waiting for a season to prosper. You will not wait for the next, like I said, declaration to prosper.
Waiting on
him. You will not wait on the next prosperity service to prosper. Because now we have prosperity meetings and prosperity services. There's nothing wrong with prosperity services. But the Bible says this man is not waiting for the next prosperity meeting. This man is prospering in all he does. But don't forget, he said this man's leaves does not wither. It's amazing we have a man who is not waiting for a season. Because the man himself is perpetually in season.
He's in his prime.
His leaves is not falling off. His leaves is not withering. This man is perpetually in season. So if you are there listening to this and you're wondering, and somebody told you, now it's getting good for you, where will you get the evil part? Like Job said, can a man receive good and not get evil from God? That is the thought of Job. And may I say this to you, viewers all over the world. Now, for every word in the Bible, they are not the words of God. The words of Satan are in the Bible, the words of men are in the Bible, and the words of God are in the Bible. That's why the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15 that you need to rightly divide the word of truth. It was Job that said, can a man get good and not evil from God? Now listen, the Bible says this man in Psalm chapter 1 is perpetually in season. Now we are answering the question we've been asking all this while on Knockout. That does God have a set time to bless you? When is God visiting you? Now the reality is, the Bible says this man in Psalm chapter 1 is perpetually in visitation. This man in Psalm chapter 1 is living in visitation. He is living in visitation perpetually. How did I know that? The Bible says his leaves does not wither. His leaves just never falls off. He's not even waiting for a visitation. He lives perpetually in visitation. How did he do that? How did this man achieve that feat? How did he do it? The Bible said all he did was to dip his roots in supply. Mm-hmm. And how did he do that? Back up to verse 2. He says all he did was to continually look at the law of liberty. All he did was to continually see himself the way heaven sees him. All he had to do was to act, think and reason how God sees him. And you see, let me say this for those that believe in prayers. We believe in prayers. And I believe as a Christian, if you're listening to this, you must be a fanatic. I'll say why I said that. Some people, when they switch to this channel, or they're looking at it, they just say, well, what are they talking about? They just flip away. So I believe if you are listening to this and you are taking time out not to scroll to the next page on your Facebook, it means you must be a fanatical Christian. Now listen, if that's true, let's talk about this. It means you believe in prayer. If you believe in prayer, you want to listen to this. You want to listen to this because the Bible says that God is able to do, listen, exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask or think. Now listen, we see when we talk about prayer, we believe in asking God, in petitioning the Father. But the Bible says what God does in you finally is not just all about what you're asking, it's also about what you're thinking. Can you see that? So what you get from God eventually in the place of prayer is not just limited to your asking, is also to your thinking. I'll repeat that verse. It's in Ephesians. It said, God who is able to do exceedingly more and above than what you can ask or think. So if you are believing God for a visitation and you are thinking, if your thinking is in the dust, if your thinking is thinking like a man who believes that they have to scream and shout and hope that God will favor them if God wishes to. If your thinking is that way, it means your thinking is running contrary to the reality of what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. Because in Christ Jesus, the visitation of God is in you already. Yeah. Christ is God's visitation. In fact, Romans chapter 5 verse 1 and 2 tells us that by whom we have access into this grace. He's saying by Christ Jesus, we have access into that grace.
That
so it means if you have Christ in you, you have access into that grace. You are not hoping for access. You're not begging for access. He said you have access through Christ Jesus. By whom we have access. If that's the reality, if you think less than that, if you're not thinking that way, the Bible says what we get from God eventually is limited to how we think. That's why it says you will get exceedingly abundantly more than what you are asking or thinking. So that's why this man is a smart man. This is a smart man in Psalm chapter 1. This man made sure that he meditated upon the word day and night to get the picture of how God sees him. Now you might want to ask me a question if you're there. Why do I need to meditate on the word day and night? Why is that critical? Now, the answer is simple. The reason is, you see, your spirit man, what God did for you in Christ Jesus, is not obvious to your body. It's not obvious to your mind. Your mind has no idea what happened in your spirit man at redemption. Your mind has no idea. For example, If you look at your face, if I ask you to tell me what's in your forehead, you have no idea if there's anything that is, you know, something like a paint, or there's like a dot or something. You will have no idea what is in your forehead unless you get a mirror to look at it so you can see how you look like. The Bible says in James chapter 1 that the word of God is the mirror of our spirit. So the word of God is what reveals to us, is what tells us how we look like in our spirit man. And that's why we have to meditate on the word day and night, so that we can keep seeing how God sees us. And the Bible says if we can see ourselves how God sees us, we're going to act accordingly. That's why when Jesus spoke to the man in John chapter 5 and John chapter 9, Jesus told the man in John chapter 5, he said, rise up and walk. Now Jesus said that to him because he expects the man to see himself, that his legs were strong. He told the man in John chapter 9, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And see, the man said, I washed and I came back seeing. He said, this man acted based on what he could see of what Christ said to them. And that's why, unless you meditate on the word day and night, unless you can see your picture in the word, unless you can see the word in you, you will not act accordingly. And unless you act accordingly, you will not give the right response to the word. And if you don't give the right response to the word, it means you're not walking in faith. And that's the reality of what happened to this man in Psalm chapter 1.
Yeah, I would like to challenge our viewers today that you be like that man. Yeah. Be like the man in Psalm 1. Be like that man in John chapter 5. Be like that man in John chapter 9. Because they own up their responsibility. They own up, in their healing. Mm. That they make it their own. They own their healing themselves. Mm. We know that John chapter 9 was said, I went. You know, I washed.
And I came back seeing.
And I came back seeing. So he honed it up. So you need to hone up your destiny this year. You need to hold it off and not attach. Mm. And you shut the queue. Change the game. You know, you can determine your season like in Psalm 1.
The
like
man in John 5, in a season perpetually. His leaves never wither.
Like in Psalm 1, like in John chapter 5, like in John chapter 9. Like those lepers, because you know that leper, they own it all. They own up their healing because it was for them. They said they were not healed before. They said, go and show yourself to the priest. You know, that's you don't go to the priest unless you are healed. You know, they take control of the healing themselves. And that is what we are challenging you to take control of your healing, take control of your miracles, and not be dependent on a man, and not be dependent on a system. Them on the program, you know, you have to shunt this queue. You know, this is a new system.
That's why, if you notice, Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 told us what the man had to actually what
do.
No, in verse 1, it tells what the man refused to do. Can you see that? Yeah. He refused to follow those kind of wrong mentalities.
Wrong counsel.
Wrong counsel, wrong way of thinking.
Wrong programs. Wrong arrangement.
He refused that in verse 2. See, can you see that?
That's why. He found a better offer. It was smarter.
And so I think that there's something that we're talking about now. Yesterday, we did say this yesterday for our viewers to listen to. What we said yesterday is, it's happening. The reason why some Christians are not willing to follow this system we're talking about is because you are still embracing the old system. You see, and we might call it the old system, but you might not even call it the old system. It's a system that is still at work. But a system that's at work is a system in
so
which
limited.
God, it's a wilderness system where God has chosen to bless people, believing that we would take that time to learn to grow. That's why we say this again. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 1. God said, I led you through the wilderness and I fed you with manna. I had to make you wait on my timing and my season to drop you food. God said, I did that so that you can take time to learn. You can use the opportunity to learn that men will not live by bread alone. Now, it means the reason why God blesses us, in which he gives us timing and season, in which he does that so that we can have the opportunity not to die before we learn the word. But unfortunately, some Christians have decided to use that as the mainstay of receiving from God. And if you do that, if you listen to our yesterday's episode, we've talked about the consequences of taking that system. So the Bible tells us in this Psalm chapter 1 about this man. The Bible said he shunned the old system in verse 1 and he moved into the new system in verse 2. And that's what you must do as well. And I think before we leave off today, there is something we need to really talk about when it comes to God's seasons and timings.
Oh, I think the time.
No, we've not. I mean, I think viewers, it's better for us to leave this with the viewers before we actually round up today.
Okay.
And I think that's very important because people ask questions about the timings of God and seasons of God to bless us or to do something in our lives and in our generation. You see, there's something that comes to heart, and this is about Christ Jesus. Now, we might not actually open all these verses, but we'll talk about them so the viewers can go and read them up if they want to learn these verses. You see, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 tells us that Jesus Christ was born in due season. Now, I'm going to read what it says. I think I said I will not read it, but I think we need to read it so that viewers can actually understand what we are actually talking about. See, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Now, I read from verse 3, Galatians 4, verse 3 to 4. This is understanding how God's timing and seasons work and how we can work in that timing and season. Okay. We're looking at it from a different perspective. Now, look at verse 3. What does it say in verse 3? Galatians 4, verse 3 to 4.
Even so we,
okay,
when we were children,
okay,
we were in bondage,
okay,
under the elements of this world.
Okay.
But when the fullness of the time was come.
Yeah, it says we're in bondage, we're in captivity. But when the fullness of time was come, what did it say next then?
God sent forth his son.
God sent forth his son, Jesus, when the fullness of time was come. And you see, and I think because of these kind of verses, these kind of scriptures, is why some Christians are saying, like Job said, I will wait until my appointed time. And I think I cannot really count how many times I've seen conventions and conferences that says, my appointed time, title of the convention. This is your appointed time or appointed time, appointed season. People use that, quoting Job Habakkuk and all that. Waiting for the move of God. Now, before you carry on with that revelation, now let's look at what the Bible has to say about how does God time actually come. How does your appointed time show up in your destiny? Now, look at what the Bible says in Galatians 4:4. It says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, which is good. So what we are thinking is, it means that God was waiting in the heavens, and God was waiting for maybe 2,000 years before God actually sent forth his son, Jesus. That's what you think on the surface. But a careful study of the scriptures brings up something contrary. How did I know that? Now, if you take time to read Luke chapter 2, it talks about two people in Luke chapter 2. Now, in Luke chapter 2, I think we need to read this so that our viewers can get a full dossier or the revelation. Now, Luke chapter 2, see what it says about the birth of Jesus. Now, please, can you read Luke chapter 2, verse 25? Now, don't forget, Galatians 4:4 said Jesus was actually shown up in the flesh at the fullness of time. Let's see how the fullness of time came.
And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem.
There was, okay,
whose name was Simon.
Okay.
And the same man was just and devout.
Okay.
Waiting for the consolation of Israel.
Okay.
And the Holy Ghost was upon him.
So there was a man that was waiting. There was a man that was, as you may call it, the bridegroom in waiting. There was a man that was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, what happened next?
And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost.
It was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost
that he should not see death.
That he should not see death
before he had seen the Lord Christ.
That's good. Now, God told this man that, see, wait, you will not see death until you have seen the Lord Christ, until Christ shows up. It means there was a man waiting. There was a man waiting for Christ to show up on the scene. Now, you might be wondering, was this man just waiting and folding his hands and saying, you know what, I'm going to wait until Christ shows up? Was Simeon hanging around and waiting? Let's see what the Bible has to say. Now, if you go on to verse 34, see what it says in verse 34.
And Simon blessed them and said unto Mary's mother,
okay,
behold, this child is set forth for the fall and rising again of many in Israel,
okay,
and for a sign which shall be spoken of.
Good. This was Simeon in verse 34 prophesying about the baby Jesus. Now again, go on to verse 37.
And she was a widow of about four.
Okay, verse 36. Now don't forget, we've left off Simeon. We are on to somebody else in verse 36.
And there was one Anna, a prophetess.
Oh, this Anna person. Anna, a prophetess. Okay.
The daughter of Phanuel.
Okay.
Of the tribe of Asher.
Okay.
She was of a great age.
Okay.
And had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity.
Okay.
And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day.
Please, listen. It means even though we know that the Bible says Jesus was shown up at the fullness of time, at the fullness of time he showed up. However, we now know there were some people who were actually right there praying and do what they should do, putting all the conditions right for the fullness of time to show up. Mm-hmm. Anytime the Bible talks about fullness of time, it happens when people actually do what they should do, when all things come together, the right conditions are met. Now listen. Even, for example, when God gave a prophecy about the fact that the children of Israel will be saved from the land of Egypt, the Bible says until the cup of the what? Of the Gentiles be full. It means at the time that Israel was taken out of captivity is when the cup of the Amorites was actually full. Now, in reality, the season and the timing of God in your life is dependent on your response. If Anna, daughter of Phanuel, If men like Simeon were not prophetically waiting for Jesus to stand in their place, that timing might never have shown up. Now, for example, they asked Jesus one question about timing. They asked Jesus, when will the end come? In Matthew 24. I mean, the disciples asked Jesus, when will the end come? And it's in the book of Mark as well. When will the end show up? And you know what Jesus said to them? Jesus said to them that even no one knows the timing, no one knows the season, that the end shall come except my Father in heaven. And when Jesus Christ made that kind of statement, now the question I'm wondering is, oh, that's fair enough. We don't know what timing that Christ will show up. But you see what he said in Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, Jesus then told us, now read it, please. Let's read this place. Now, don't forget, Jesus said nobody knows the timing and the season that he's going to actually show up. The second coming of Christ, when the end will come. Now, that's what Jesus Christ said. Now, let's listen to this. In Matthew 24, let's look at verse, let's see that. I think I'm just going to scroll through the verse now. That's Matthew 24, where it says, and the end shall come.
And this gospel, find, verse 14.
Thank you. Verse 14.
And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached
now in all the world. Now watch this. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Now,
for a witness unto all nations.
For a witness to all nations.
And then shall the end come.
But I thought they said we couldn't know the time.
So
it means the kairos of God, God's season and timing. Jesus said, when the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached as a witness to all men, then the end shall come. So it means then, even as we are ministering now, so we are preaching the gospel now. Can you see, many years ago in the past, the gospel was very hard to penetrate the Middle East. Can you see that? But now, as we are on this expose, for as many people who are actually listening to this, for the penetration of the gospel through technology, can you see the advent of technology has made Matthew 24 more probable? Now, I'll say this again. It means if you are waiting and saying, when will Christ show up? When is the second coming of Christ? When will the end come? The Bible says, even though he says nobody knows the timing, but you have to interpret that in view of other scriptures. He's simply saying that because there are conditions that must be met. And once those conditions are actually met, then the season comes into force. Now, listen. The Bible says when the gospel of the kingdom is preached as a witness to all nations, then the end shall come. It means then, because of the advent of technology, as we are talking at the moment, the gospel of the kingdom is penetrating places it could never have reached before in the past. It means then, the Bible says if the gospel of the kingdom reaches all the nations and the ethnos of the earth, then the end shall come. It means that God's timing and season walks in life in this situation based on people connecting to the condition. And that's why Peter said in 2 Peter 3, he said, hastening the day of the coming of the Lord. If it's not possible to speed up the day of his coming, it means as we are ministering the gospel as we are doing now, we are hastening, we are speeding up the coming of Christ. Why are we doing that? Because we are actually ensuring that the gospel of the kingdom gets to the ends of the earth. It means then, if men give the right response, they can activate the season of God. That's what we're talking about in their lives. So it means that we can actually activate. So if you're there, if you're an unbeliever and you're listening to this and you're wondering, when is Christ going to show up? When is the coming of Christ? They've been talking about this, that Jesus Christ is coming back very soon. Well, nobody knows the time. It is true, nobody knows the time. But the activation of that season, the activation of that timing is dependent on the response of man, because the Bible says we can hasten the day, we can hasten the day of the coming of Jesus. And the Bible says when the gospel of the kingdom is preached to the ends of the earth, then the end shall come. What are we talking about? We are simply saying if we give the right response to God, we can walk in our season now. And that's what we saw in the man of Psalm chapter 1, a man who walked perpetually in season.
So today we hope we'll be able to fully answer that question, when is God visiting? And so we are challenging you this year that you'll be smarter, you know, change the game, shunt the kill, determine the system, the season, and be like that Psalm 1, be in season all the time.
His leaves never withered.
Be in your prime life all the time. And so if this blesses you, we just want to, you might need to go back again and watch this again. You know, you have to continue, just in John chapter 8, continue in this world, we see in Psalm 1, be rooted in this, and share it with your contacts, because you really want people around you to be in the same shape that you're in. And so we'll allow you to chew on this till next weekend on Saturday and Sunday, where we continue with this. And I need to remind you again that it's the truth that you know that you personally know that will set you free. So bye. See you next weekend, 7 p.m. UK time on Saturday, and 9 a.m. on Sunday. Bye.
God bless you.